Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this October the 12th on the West Coast, now October the 13th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome anyone listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and appreciate your carrying this show. Before I bring on tonight's guest, just want to let you know that Dr. Mike Castle will be coming on board with us again tomorrow. He filled in for Dr. A. Truat last night on an emergency basis, and he will be making his regular appearance, and we're going to be discussing some new things that have come forth from a few listeners and readers of my website, pictures and documentation. Tonight's guest is a frequent guest on Evident Footprints. He is an environmental scientist, chemist, historian, and herbalist, among other things. He's also a musician and a music composer, and he's my good friend, Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Don. Thank you. Great to be back.
Last time you were on the show with me, we were discussing some artifacts and alien ships and things like that, and you had mentioned that you had some photographs of some of the hieroglyphics that demonstrate that even the Egyptians were familiar with craft. In fact, they're pretty good drawings. One of them looks like a space shuttle. Got a cigar-shaped craft. A picture of a gray alien as well. You don't really have to be able to read hieroglyphics these days to figure out what they were talking about there, do you, Michael?
Not at all, Don. These pictographs clearly depict technologies that we take a lot of credit for inventing, yet here we can find that the ancients possessed a similar craft. And the gray aliens, of course, Don, which makes it extra disturbing. But the fact that you see helicopters, clearly like a jet, and also with King Tut, when his when a lot of the relics that they found with his tomb go around on display from museums, there's a wood carving of clearly a little jet in with those relics. And of course, the archaeologists would tell us, oh, it's just a coincidence. Of course, it can't be a jet. And here we have the proof, though, on the pictographs in this particular tomb. And you see helicopters, submarines, anti-gravity disc-type craft, as well as jets. And then, of course, that gray alien. So ancient times were much different than, of course, we're led to believe. The history of our planet is nothing like we were taught, that's for sure.
I agree with you. I agree with you. Now, I'm wondering, are you familiar with Alex Collier?
Not offhand.
Okay. Alex is a contactee, and he's been writing and being interviewed for a number of years. He's been on a lot of radio shows, and even in a video, which is darn close to 2 hours long, where he's describing what is going on here on the planet, and he gives a little bit of history. I'm not going to play all 2 hours, but I want to I want to start off by playing a clip of some of his remarks as to who's running the planet. And I think you'll find this very interesting.
That's right. Now, when did the Zeta Reticulans begin to create their genetic atrocities? Where did this take place on Earth, and what have the results been?
Well, it's occurring everywhere. Much of it is occurring underground. Some of it's occurring in the oceans. Some of it's occurring on the moon. Some of it's occurring on Phobos, the moon of Mars. It's happening in a lot of different places.
Is that an artificial moon?
Yes, it's absolutely. It's Sol's our moon. Our moon's artificial, completely artificial. It was brought here from Ursa Minor, apparently between 11 and 12,000 years ago.
For the purpose of?
Of being a satellite in a base, which, you know, they evacuated some time ago, but it's now being operational again. And I cover this in the series of eight. It came from a star system called Chata. That's for a word. That's the word they use, Chata. And it was the 17th planet out of a solar system that had 21 planets, and it was one of four moons. And it was brought here. It is older than the Earth. There are ruins all over it. There are bases underneath it. It's everything that we're told that isn't. So that's a whole unique story unto itself.
Okay, now, what are the results of these atrocities, these genetic atrocities, been, and are we going to begin to see more of them appearing?
Well, the Greys are trying to create a sub-race that is a blend between human culture, the human race, and their race.
A kind of a hybrid sense.
Exactly. They're not being very, very successful. And one of the things that they're trying to do is they're really looking for the soul. They don't understand the soul. They don't understand our extremes of emotions as well, because they're very, very different from us. Their experiments haven't been all that successful. There are a lot of emotional problems with that, with their... because what really makes a human being, is our essence, is the spirit that animates the physical form. Well, there's also another factor, and that is that they actually feed off the energy. They're vampires.
The Zeta Reticulan Greys.
The Greys, right. They're vampires.
Is this where we get our vampire legends? A lot of our vampire legends?
I don't know about that. I don't know if that has to do with it. I don't really know. I wouldn't be surprised, to be perfectly honest with you. But they feed off the energy. They can even bottle the energy and use it for later times. They're also stealing the vital bodies of human beings and storing it. So, I mean, they're just doing some really horrific things here that other races just simply wouldn't conceive of doing.
Now, are you familiar with Salvador Frechedo?
No, never heard of him.
Okay, he's a gentleman who proposes, he's a former Jesuit priest who proposes the idea that Colosseum-type sporting events are used to vampire energy off the crowds.
I wouldn't at all be surprised. It wouldn't surprise me.
He said, like, the sacrifice of human beings in some ancient civilizations here on Earth was a form of belief system that was set up for these beings to vampire energy off of.
I wouldn't be surprised at that either.
Okay.
War. Our wars here. It's the exact same thing. And to all of your viewers, I'm going to give you some homework. It is an absolute must that you go out and get the book, The Gods of Eden by William Bramley. It is an excellent introductory book that will bring you right up to speed with what's going on. It is over 80% accurate with the information in there, and I strongly suggest that people read it. It's excellent.
And the 20% that isn't accurate revolves around what type of ideas?
Around the soul and the being that we know is Jesus, which I'm not going to go into.
Okay. Now, how are we doing on time here? Do you still have some more time?
Well, we've come here an hour so far. We'll continue.
Okay. You let me know when you need to break. How are the renegade Zeta Reticulans able to manipulate Earth's most powerful governments into a position of checkmate?
Oh, it's easy. That part was really easy. Number one, their technology is 2,500 years more ahead of us. Number two, because of our greed factor, certain groups of power elite are in touch with them on a physical level. Well, many of them are implanted. Many of them are so implanted that they have now become part of the gray group mind. And the Andromedans no longer consider some of these human beings, Terrans as they call us, human at all anymore. They're nothing but clones for what the grays want. And they pass down orders, they tell others what to do, and of course the chain of command that we've established on our planet is exactly what's happening. Also, playing on the greed factor, those who are still human, they look at the fact that, well, they're here, they're the rulers, you know, we can still maintain our place of privilege in the world, so we'll form the new priesthood. We'll be the go-between, between the workers and the gods, just like we saw in Babylon, in Assyria, Egypt. It's all over again. It's history repeating itself all over again.
Because it's the control factor, the hierarchy is the established mode for these negative civilizations to keep their power structure intact.
That's right.
Okay.
You know, and it's another thing, and there's also one more factor. It is about human beings out for power, selling out their own race.
The world club.
Just selling out the rest of us, the human race, for their moment in glory, for their privilege to be with the gods, so to speak, who are aliens. That's what it is. To have technology that can take them to the moon, to the technology that can take them to Mars, that'll give them the technology to do time travel. They totally sold out a race, our history, everything, for their brief moment in the sun.
Now,
pisses me off.
I'm sure when they look back on their lives afterward, I would assume that they would regret their choice.
I don't know. I don't know.
How will the renegade Zeta Reticulans have to be removed?
It's, if we can create, if humanity makes a real commitment to create an environment of unconditional love and simply refuses to hate or to kill each other and destroy our planet, they'll have to leave because they can't deal with the vibration. If we can't, it's going to take outside intervention to get them out of here. Period.
Are the renegade Zeta Reticulans going to try to deceive humanity with an elaborate religious event they are staging?
The perceived second coming, yes. I have been told to really beware of that, that they are very capable of playing out the second coming, creating a clone who will look like the image on the Shroud of Turin, which, by the way, was one of their deals. And this soul will have holographic imprints and information regarding all the world's religions. He won't have a soul. And yes, I mean, we've been led down this path of the Book of Revelations that this is God's word. This is the way it has to happen. And you know what? God didn't write the Bible. Man wrote the Bible. Period. ETs didn't write the Bible, but some ETs did tell those souls, those men, what to write. And we have been led down this path where we totally will succumb our free will to become subservient. And I'm not here to offend anybody, but really think about it. Really think about, you know, what we've done and what our history has been. You know, we've been to this place so many times before, and we still haven't gotten it right. You know, and we're still not going to get it right unless we do it as a race and just cut out all the crap. Period.
Michael, that's your first time hearing Alex Collier. And, of course, this is in the middle of his interview, so we missed the setup of his experiences from childhood. But he's claimed to be in touch with a group from Lyra, which is in the Pleiades, and he goes through many things about his childhood and dealing with the contact that he had and the things he was taught, and he became very, very outspoken about what's going on. It's a really interesting interview.
Yes.
Your comments, if you have any.
Oh, sure, I absolutely do, Don. Well, of course, his statements verify what I've said and shared with you in the past quite a few times as we've gotten into this topic of essentially the good spirits versus the evil spirits, where the good angels, they thrive on the love vibration, where the bad angels feed off of fear and the shedding of blood. That's all satanic activity. As far as it's an energy and a vibration that is literally food for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the love vibration is the food that the good angels thrive on.
Yeah,
that God Almighty and his good angels thrive on.
He goes into that in the next part of the interview, too.
And that's very... So he's confirming that theory.
Mm-hmm.
And which is, you know, I think really an established, it's established fact, but it's, of course, a theory. And so he's verifying that. Now, is he also stating that Jesus was all a myth?
No, that's
that
not.
They created?
That's not what he's saying. But
okay.
But he's saying to some extent the writings about Jesus were influenced by ETs, that he did say, but he didn't, you know, he clearly said he didn't want to get into a discussion about that. He's not he's just concerned about what's going on and feels that he's led to deliver the message, not argue with people's faith or their convictions on mm-hmm. spiritual level.
Okay. But, well, it'd be just curious to know if where what he believes regarding Jesus and what is written about him. Of course, number one, I've heard some say that it's all a myth that they created as well. And David Icke was believing that in, I think, the book Children of the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And that's totally erroneous, of course, because Jesus the Christ is for real. And he is yep. the Holy Son of God. There's plenty of sons of God.
We've had it confirmed that the United Galactic Federation worships Christ.
There you go. There you go. And everything good will, and anything that is not good will have to acknowledge him as well. Otherwise, they're doomed. Because in the end of this game, the Lord himself reigns supreme. And everything that will be allowed to dwell throughout his creation will have to acknowledge him.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, then they're just going to be cut off and they won't have any opportunities once yeah. you get cut off.
Yes.
And so that's good to hear that he's not selling that line, because that's a BS line. And Jesus the Christ taught us everything we need to know to be free of their control.
Yes.
So they wouldn't create something that would explain everything we need to know and understand in order to break away from controlling activity that wants to feed off us.
Yes. Yes. Now, I'd like to play a few more minutes of this because it's going to give us more food for discussion here. Not that we don't have it already, but this is a really interesting message. Again, this was recorded in 1994, so we're talking 16 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is the type of information he disclosed in this. It's actually a video interview, but they're only talking. There are no graphics or, you know, things that...
Does he get into the reason for them to want to create a hybrid, Don?
Yes, he does. Actually, he goes into that as well.
And does a quick.
Well, let me play the next part here. And
okay.
If I recall, this is pertinent to that. Okay.
Now, that leads me. I'm going to jump a question. Do they have control of the world media?
Greed does.
But
I don't know if it's them themselves. The programming is being introduced, and it is mankind that is introducing it to the masses.
So it's the people that are selling out.
That's it. It's the new priesthood.
Okay.
You know, that's where the responsibility lies.
What would be the outcome if human beings believed that renegade Zeta Reticulans were the hope of mankind?
We would know a tyranny and an enslavement that is far beyond anything we could even imagine. To put it just quite bluntly, we'll get... we'll never be free again. We'll never be free again. We will be stuck until we're rescued by an outside force. We ourselves will not be able to break free. That's the bottom line. And right now, we have an opportunity. There is a window of time for us to break free, to do it ourselves, to really make this incredible leap ourselves so that we can have the benefit of taking responsibility for it.
Now, in that passion that you talk with right there, that passion that we have, if we want to break free, should be manifested into the spirit of love?
Yeah, love. That's the bottom line. It's brotherhood. It's knowing that, hey, you know, we're a race. It doesn't matter the color of our skin. We are a race. And we're being messed with in a big way. We're being manipulated in an incredibly
audacious
way. They're just mocking how stupid we are when we're really not stupid. You know, but nobody will tell the truth. Nobody will come out and say, hey, you know, this, none of this is right. We would have never meant to live this way. And they had no right to come down here and mess with us the way they've done that. You know, and the real strength in us, in our own permanent evolvement as a race, will come from us standing up, taking a stand and saying, you know what? No way. We're not going to do this. We're not going to destroy ourselves for your enjoyment so you can feed off of us. You know, you have no right to manipulate our governments, you know, to create wars. None of this was right. And that's it. We need to stand up as a race, exercise our free will and say, you know what? We don't want to live this way anymore. We want to create a real future where our kids will have an opportunity to be whatever they want, to live in an environment that's clean, that's free, where they can have water to drink, where they can go out and eat fruit, where they can play in the dirt without getting radioactively toxic. All of this stuff that we're doing to ourselves.
So the people with weapons are the police, the military people. These people need to be persuaded and persuade them themselves that they can lay down their weapons, that they don't need to use them against other human beings, that they can love other human beings, interact with them without a violent or power control type of situation going on.
I'm not saying that there aren't some human beings here that definitely don't have some serious problems. I'm not saying that at all. There are some who do. But the bottom line is, when you look at the whole picture and you go up the ladder, okay, we are not the enemy. The enemy isn't human at all. But it's pushing all our buttons so that we're so busy looking at each other and so neurotic about each other that we're not looking at the real reality here, the real cause, which is another race or races that are here who are totally playing games with us, feeding off our energy, and hoping that we destroy ourselves so that they can keep the planet
for
themselves.
And really, let's say who it is again. It's the Orion Group.
It's the Orion Group. It's a group that is on its way here now from Alpha Draconis. They're the real culprits behind this whole deal.
Draconis or Orion or both those?
Alpha Draconis. They're the real culprits behind this whole thing.
Above the Orion Group?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So then there's Orion. Then there's Orion, the Orion Group. Then you've got the Greys.
And where did the Giza Intelligence fit in here?
They were just a group that were totally independent that came in and did their own thing. They were perceived as gods, and they played the role out. And they got stuck in it. You know, they got stuck in the ego part of it. We're gods. We can do this. We have all this technology. And they just played it out for all that it was worth.
Okay.
But be honest with you, at this point, they're not really much of a factor anymore. You know, Giza Intelligence. They're not much of a factor at all anymore.
What should a human being do if they encounter a renegade Zeta Reticulan? What would your advice be?
Stand in their truth. If you can't run, stand in your truth and just look at them. If they try to project their head and their thoughts into your head. You just stand firm with who you are and you say, no, you are not coming into my head. You are not taking me over and you are not going to violate my free will. I don't give a damn who you are. Leave me alone. Period. Because if it's a benevolent, they will not try to do it. They will not try to take you over. They will not try to put crap into your head so they can feed off of your fear. Period.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Okay, I'm going to skip the keys of intelligence for the moment then, and we'll go to the Alpha Draconis.
Can we take a short time out?
Oh, definitely.
Thank you. You know, Rick, there's something else I want to stress here, and that is, and this is something that the Andromedans have really stressed. There is no race any better than us. Just because they're different, just because they're more evolved, doesn't mean that they're better. We are equal. We're just not maybe as aware as they are. But that doesn't mean that any race is any better or any less. In fact, we're all equal.
So we should not worship anybody?
Hell no. Absolutely not. That's how we got into this mess in the first place.
Right.
Absolutely. If you want to worship somebody, worship the God within you. That's it. Worship no one else. And if you're going to have a tyrant in your life, let it be that part of you that's critical of you. Let that be your only tyrant. Don't give anybody else any power outside of your physical form to be a tyrant, to control you, or manipulate you in any way. Be yourself. Because if you are yourself, you're a part of God, and that part of you knows what to do. It knows the right way to live. And, you know, and this is really interesting. Because of our genetic makeup, the 22 different races, and all of the DNA and the racial memories that we have and the genetics that we have, because of the fact that we are spirit, do you know, and this is an incredible thing, do you know that the Andromedans actually consider us royalty? They consider us royalty. We obviously aren't acting like royalty, but we're the only ones in our galaxy that can make the claim to having the genetics that we have and the possibilities and the capabilities of doing what we can do as a race. We're the only ones. They actually consider every single one of us royalty. Now, think about that.
I guess.
Think about that. That's Alex Collier, if you're just joining us. Back in 1994, and that was his rant, Michael.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that sort of answered your question, but he goes into some very specific detail,
mm-hmm.
both before and after these two parts that we just listened to. Your comments on what he had to say?
Well, he's definitely interesting and raising a lot of valid points, and of course, I was thinking about when the Lord taught in the scripture where he says, know ye not, ye are gods, with a small g.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever I hear these Christians today or anybody else not quite understanding what the good Lord was really all about and what he taught us, and further where those are just saying, watch out, you know, because, and we have to be careful. Because it's an easy way to spin it where the controllers will say, yeah, you're gods. So do whatever you want, you know, and use it to that advantage for themselves so that, again, we remain lost. Where the Lord was making it clear that, men, don't you understand? You're divine beings, but you're just not acting like it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not living like it. But the potential, and again, and another respect, he's saying you have the potential of incredible greatness, and he did say everything that I have done ye shall do as well. So he's making it clear that we have by design tremendous potential. However, for various reasons we don't exploit that potential, and the reasons of course are that there's a controlling force that doesn't want us to be aware of this principle that's within our design, and therefore utilize it. Because once we do, we're free, like the Lord taught us. If we follow everything that the Lord instructed us with, and unfortunately the Bible's been edited so much that it's not all in the four Gospels, we have to find it outside of that,
mm-hmm.
for the full teachings of the Lord. But once we acquire and put it into application, in our personal lives through our daily activities, because it's not a once a week thing where they go to church on a Sunday and all of a sudden they think everything's fine and they're in good terms with the good Lord now. You have to live it. And through living that process, through living it, it triggers a process that gradually brings about our real nature. Like when the Lord said, you have to be born again. So that's a literal process. And that's always amusing to see those Christians out there that are rookies. And I'm not knocking them. They've found a glimmer of light to save them from a life of darkness. And that light, through the good Lord, has turned their lives around. But then when I see these rookies that, and I haven't seen these types in a long time, by the way, they would go around, are you saved? Are you saved? Are you saved? And they believe they're totally saved, and yet they're not. And they swear they're born again just from that little turnaround. They feel like they're totally born again, but they're not, because they're not living it yet 24/7, 365 through all of their daily activities, which will then truly bring about a new birth process spiritually, mm-hmm. where you become a whole new person. And all that really means is that your real nature has emerged. Your phony, false nature is gone. And that would be your immortal nature, which is real, emerging, which is eternal and divine by our Father God Creator and Mother God, who materializes our spirit with a body, which we call matter. And matter is Latin for mother. And then the false self, which is the mortal nature, is gone finally. And one of the real teachings of the good Lord, which is not in the four Gospels, is you have to kill your mortal nature before it kills you. And so that's pretty much what we're all about by design. And we're in this quandary because as we're born as mortals, even though we're immortal beings, we're raised by mortals, where everything around us is conditioned by mortals. And that's what keeps us in the dark. That's what prevents us from discovering our real nature. And that's the real problem that we're all having down here. And there's not enough people out there like yourself, Don, and myself, and many others that are discussing this. But honestly, when it comes to this intricacy of understanding, there's really hardly anybody you can find that understands this, because you really can't until you become it. It's something you can't understand at all until you experience it. And so that's definitely the trap. And the controllers know all this, and they exploit it to their advantage so that the people, which by design, human beings by design, very powerful, and yet we're weak as all could be, and timid and under the control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a situation.
When you were describing the, let's say, the rookies, as you call them, in their Christian walk, let's say, mm-hmm. I chuckled a little bit. It wasn't because of what you were saying. You reminded me of a knock that I got on my door some years ago. And it was on a Sunday, and my Sabbath is actually on Saturday. So I answered the door, and there was a young lady and a young man all dressed up, and they were going door to door through the neighborhood, and they asked me, have you found Jesus? That was the first thing they said, and I said, I didn't know he was missing.
Right.
And they really didn't know how to respond to that.
That's right. They weren't prepared for that one through all their training.
You see, this, I think to discuss one's faith with a total stranger is one thing, maybe on a radio show, for example. If you get a caller that you've never met, of course, you're going to discuss it actually before the whole world, you know, whoever's listening, and in this case, on a couple of thousand planets as well that are also hearing the same broadcast. But the aspect of answering your door and telling a total stranger what your spiritual convictions are seems a bit too fast. It's in a sense, it's an imposition, especially when, okay, on one hand, they're exercising their faith, or on some level, somebody told them to be a true Christian, you have to go around on Sunday afternoons and knock on people's doors and strike up a conversation. Okay, they call that evangelism. They call that a ministry. They call it fellowship. They give it different names. But what is it really? It's almost like somebody is trying to impose themselves on you in that respect. And I think each individual has a choice from within themselves to determine whether or not they're going to worship God or have God be in their life.
Sure.
That's, if you know what I mean.
Sure, absolutely, Don. It's true that it is like an imposition.
Yeah, when, you know, these activities, even though they seem, you know, innocent in a way, they're exercising the other methods found in the Matrix. And it's that, you know, to get your vote, they have to come around. They never answer your phone calls when they're in office, the politicians, you know.
Sure.
But
well,
they'll come and knock on your door and leave a bunch of their materials and their propaganda on your door.
Right.
But yeah, they'll never, ever solve an issue or address a problem that you bring to them.
That's because they're usually sending out kids. And of course, it's going to be very, very rare to come across a young person that's spiritually very mature and advanced. But of course, it's all recruiting, and it's deemed an imposition by everyone because everybody usually doesn't even answer the door. They just say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm busy. But I always engage them. And over the years, I haven't seen anybody in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But over the years, I would always engage them, even though I didn't have time to do it. But I always seen it as an opportunity, and I engage them, and I've always had them wanting to come back for more. And friends that would be around on occasion when they see me engage them, and they, you know, they say, Mike, I can't believe you actually spend time with them where, you know, I mean, it's a waste of time talking with them. And I say, no, not at all. And they're just kids, and they're sent out to recruit, and they know a little bit, and now I'm going to let them have a real experience of having an opportunity to get a good feel of what the Lord is all about. And they always want to come back, and sometimes they have. One time there were Mormons, and the gal, I think it was two gals, and she says, you mind if we come back? And I said, no, it's fine. She goes, can I bring my husband? I said, sure. And they came back. And, of course, they and friends would say, Mike, they think they're going to get you. And I say, that's fine. I don't care. I'll get them. They won't get me.
Now, hey, do you mind if we bring our kids next time?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, we have eight.
That's fine. That's fine because there's always opportunities, Don, and I don't, and that's how I look at it because they're just souls like us, and this is the real food that makes us feel nurtured, and it's spiritual food. Like the Lord said, He's the bread and the life, and so man cannot live on bread alone, but every word of God. Okay, and this is what it's all about, spiritual food. And I'll never pass up an opportunity to feed somebody some nourishment that they're desperately looking for. And when as long as you have the mastery to know how to do it, because that's the key. Otherwise, it's a waste of time, and everybody gets frustrated. But if you really know how to do it, you'll win them over every time because they'll hear things that'll expand suddenly their awareness. They'll get a new perspective that they didn't quite have about the good Lord. And that's what keeps it going. And we're all here for that. So I always look forward to these opportunities, even though it's, you know, in the beginning, it's definitely an imposition because, like I say, it's either a holy day or you're just too wrapped up with things. But it's an opportunity. But nonetheless, that they're recruiting for dogmatic religions. That's for sure. And I enjoy engaging in all that, though, just to wake them up. That's what I like to do, Don. I love to wake up people.
Well, that's what my statement did.
Yes.
It woke them up.
Absolutely.
Michael, we've got a caller on the line here.
Sure, great.
Hold your thought, though. Caller, would you identify yourself, where you're calling from, and your comment or question for Michael Anthony? Well, I'm not hearing the caller there, Don. Maybe you can make sure the buttons are pressed. The four that we talked about last night.
Can you hear me?
I can hear someone now a little bit, yes. Your name, where are you calling from, please?
This is Joe Schmo from Idaho, Northern Idaho. I've talked to you before.
Okay, Joe, is it pertaining to the topic we're discussing?
Yes, and maybe this is, maybe he kind of answered it, but when you know the truth and you live by the Spirit on a daily basis and you awaken people, then they kind of want to take your children away from you. I think I mentioned this to you before, and they drag you before the courts. And I think the scriptures, that word that I read, it says you're supposed to flee, but if you don't flee, then they drag you before the courts or the scribes, that then the Lord will put the truth in your mouth. And I'm wondering, also it says, I think about Peter, when he watched Jesus walk on the water, and Peter fell in, and the Lord kept telling him, "O ye of little faith." Now, if we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free, how does this apply to us when they drag us before the courts? What can we do? We're at their mercy, basically. They throw us in their cage if we don't conform. So when you come to a certain point, it's all fine and well to live by the Spirit and live your daily life that way every minute, but when they drag you in front of the courts, what can we do? That's my question. What do we do then?
Well, I want Mike to answer.
Can I get right in there?
Let me interject one thing here. Where is your faith in God at that point when you arrive at that situation?
Well, the last time I went to trial, I took one World Health Organization thing that showed that the viruses and the antigens were what did the damage, and I got the vaccine stopped. But the only other evidence I had was this black book that's all worn out that I took up there, and I called these lawyers the trinketry between the whore and the beast, somewhere around the bit area. And I told them that the earth is going to change, and there are changes coming, and I need to protect my children, and they have no right to tell me no. And they've taken them away, and they're dragging me before the courts, and they want to throw me in a cage. What do I do? This is,
I
ask this every
that.
Day. Yeah. I ask, what do I do? I ask it on my knees. I ask it all day long. What do I do?
Yeah. Joe, I answered this on another show about a week ago. I don't know if you recalled or if you gave that any thought, but let's let Michael answer.
Well, Joe, I'm really sorry to hear that they took your kids, and nothing upsets me more than hear how these commie scumbags are breaking up families where they don't have the authority to do that. And but to answer your question, It's a difficult situation, of course, whenever now we have to confront this negative world and those entities that want to keep it negative, like the court system. And we all have certain levels of, you know, karmas, okay? We're all going to have crosses to bear. Even though I'm super close to the good Lord, doesn't mean I haven't had a cross to bear. And we all will, until this world is perfected, restored back to perfection, and all evils wiped out, and that kind of testing no longer will have to occur here. And so we will all have crosses to bear, but I will tell you that also, many times when I've been confronted, because of my good relationship, because I live at 24/7, I've had situations where I'd done something stupid. I took my car out. It didn't have insurance or registration, but my truck wouldn't start up. I had to get somewhere. So I got a nice car off the road. I slapped some plates on it, and I got caught in a speed trap. It was a total setup, and they got me. And my car was going to be impounded. That trooper was throwing everything at me. While he was on the radio, I was calling on my guardian angel, who is Michael the Archangel. And whenever I do that, things change immediately. As long as I'm in the right, if I'm not in the right totally, then I won't get the same result.
According to their law.
Excuse me?
According to their law.
No, as long as I'm in totally right with God and his way of doing things. And so I broke a law of man, but I haven't broken any laws of God. Okay? I was in, at that point in time, as is now, I was in excellent standing with the good Lord, with the Almighty, and my guardian angel. So I called on him immediately while the trooper walked back to the car to check out more information on me. And this is quite a few years ago now. And so when he left me to get on his radio, my car was being impounded and I was in deep trouble here in New York State. When he came back to my car about 5 minutes later, he had a total change of attitude. My car was not going to be impounded. I was able to take my car on a tow truck to my destination of choice. Everything got dropped. Didn't lose my license. Didn't get hammered with anything. My only fee was paying the tow truck. Everything got dropped. Nobody could explain it. How the sudden change came about with everything. The court, the judge, everything was dismissed. And so now
faith.
when I dealt, Joe, with the courts, I was always courteous and polite. Now, when I had the trial, I came in my shorts. At the time, I was doing a lot of swimming pool work during the summer. This happened during the summertime, and I didn't have time to go home and clean up. And so I came in my cut-off jean shorts, and that didn't look like I was very respectful. And the guy, the policeman clerk checking me into the court, he kind of chided me for that. But again, I was always on good terms with the good Lord. And everything went smooth in the court. Other than that, I showed total respect to everybody. Under those situations, okay, I don't come on to the court and start explaining, that they're all in the wrong and that they're not serving God. I don't do that. I show respect and everything, but my mind is attentive on the good Lord, Michael the Archangel, the whole time, that they will seal and protect me from any kind of injury and any kind of harm that any potential enemy of mine is going to try to cause me. And so everything gets cleared up every time like that. I always show respect. One time with a motorcycle, I was out and I didn't have it inspected, no big deal. But the trooper, I was looking for a dog. One of my dogs took off a bit, so I was around town looking. Trooper happened to come by, seen it wasn't inspected, was going to give me a ticket. It was on 4th of July, in fact, because I'll always remember that, because when he was writing out the ticket, I said, officer, I'm a loyal, faithful American. I love my country. And I don't really break any laws or anything. My license is clean and all that. I understand my bike isn't inspected right now. It's out of inspection. However, I got a dog missing, and I took a quick run around town to look for him because I don't want anything to happen to him. I'm not harming anybody. And here we are on Independence Day, officer, and this country based on freedom, and here I am. I don't even have the freedom to go out and look for my dog on my motorcycle without getting a ticket because it's not inspected. I said, I just don't understand where my country's going, officer. And he thought about it, ripped up the ticket, said, okay, just get the bike inspected. Good luck with your dog. I said, have a good day, officer. Thank you. And
well,
so,
I guess that's
Joe, just
good advice.
Okay,
here.
Go ahead, Joe.
I thought I'd probably just go in there and plead with them for their own sakes that they not destroy a family. That they
absolutely
will have to deal with that.
Absolutely.
That's
right.
That's
and
the only thing I can think to do. And
That's right. Don't come down on them in any other way. Don't go trying to save their souls in that court or anything like that. But just present the facts that here they are interrupting your family, and they have no real cause, no justification to break up a family that's obviously you're in harmony with each other. You all love each other. The kids love you, and they love mom. They don't want to be separated, and they don't have any right to do that. Now, I'll tell you this.
Because of their mom, kind of.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. You see, everything's not totally harmonious, and there's the wedge they're using. Okay, now let me add this in there as well, because I want everybody to understand this. I'm very passive. I don't harm anything. I'm a strict vegetarian for most of my life. I do not harm anything. I'm on very good terms with the Almighty. I love His creation, no matter what it is, even insects. I will go out of my way to save insects if they're drowning in my pool, or if I'm chopping wood, or going to grab some wood to burn. I make sure there's no insects on it. I go out of my way to harm nothing. Now, because I'm so reverent for the good Lord, I do not tolerate anything that wants to interfere with my way of living. For example, when I have somebody that says, Mike, you know, I'm going to a neighbor, and it's an old property line, and I'm going to put a fence on it now, and if I do, then you don't have access to your driveway anymore because of the crazy zone, the crazy surveying with this village that existed before cars. And so rather than just get into it with him so much, I realize this guy doesn't like me, wants to be an enemy. And when you come across enemies, Joe, okay, I want you to always realize, as long as you're on good standing with the good Lord, that you're innocent in His eyes, that you have no cause to have this enemy. That enemy has no cause to be your enemy. You have done nothing to him to justify that. You call on the good Lord to protect you from that enemy, to do whatever He has to do so that this enemy cannot do you any harm. Okay, now if you get good at that, it'll work for you every time. You will be protected. Your kids will be protected. Everything you love will be protected. For the most part, I will say this. I am single. I don't have a family. But I had a bunch of dogs for a long time, Springer Spaniels, and I loved them. They were great animals. They were all vegetarians, too, by the way. Very peaceful. I lost two to poison. I don't know if it was intentional or not. And I learned over time that I am protected, but things that I love aren't always protected. And so I become even more careful for the things that I love because I have to make sure that nothing can get to them just to get to me. Just to try to get to me, they will take something out that I love because they can't get to me. And so that's what we have to watch out for as well. And it all comes down to just living a very clean life so that spiritually we're very strong. And then those forces of light will avail themselves when we need them. And then for those things that we care about, that we love, but they're not up to speed with us spiritually yet, then we have to really protect them and guard them best we can through our prayers and visualizing that they're always safe. And visualizing is a technique. It's not just positive thinking as people just refer to it. It's a real mental technique that generates an energy and a power directed towards that thought. And it will provide an activity around that, whatever it is you're trying to guard. And it's very effective, very effective. Yeah. And you, once you get good at that, you will find that enemies will have a hard time getting to you or anything that you love.
And it's based in courage, not in fear.
Absolutely. That's when we're tested the most, when we encounter these critical conditions of strife and attack.
They've ganged up to do everything, destroy livelihood, take home, take children, take everything. They've ganged up.
Yeah,
but
they're
I
evil.
I understand what you're saying.
I'm going to pray for you. I know your name's not Joe Schmo of Idaho, help me zero in as much as I want to with my prayers for you and your family.
Joe,
if I knew your real name. But anytime you want, you get my number from Don, And I'll be glad to talk to you further on this and even include you in my prayers.
Thank you. My name is Joe Haycock. I'm from up by St. Mary's, Idaho, north a little ways of Kamei, where the micro effect is broadcast from here. But I've been called Joe Schmo all my life, and I'm just a normal Joe, so that works for
well,
me.
Either way, whether we call you Haycock or Schmo, we got the right one.
Cool. Yeah, but the name is important for trying to get a good feel for you, Joe, when I include you in my prayers.
Okay.
Thank you very important.
Joe, I got to let you go, but thanks for calling in.
God bless you, Joe. All the best to you and your family.
Okay.
May God protect you.
Yeah, now, that's the other side of what we've been talking about, actually.
That's right. It's a battle zone. We are in a battle zone, and we're going to have casualties, and I hate to hear casualties. I'd rather have the casualties to me than to something that I love. Because I'd rather go through it than have something that I love go through. And these dirtbag bastards that have the audacity to come in and break up families. But you see, there's the wedge, the missus. That's how they were able to get in. She's apparently opening the door for them to come in. And I'm very sorry to hear that. And that's why as families, we gotta be so together. And husband and wife have to overcome whatever conflicts they're having between themselves for the sake of their kids.
Mm-hmm.
At least wait till the kids grow up and then do what you got to do with each other. But let the kids have a solid mom and dad relationship so that there's no chance of an outside threat like these government agencies today that think they have the authority to come in and break up a family. It's incredible.
Yeah, when they put the Federal Reserve Act into motion back in 1913, basically what occurred was the beginning of the demise of the American family.
Yes.
Because all this was related to money eventually. Mm-hmm. It all became related to money.
That's
and
right.
All the laws and you know, you have these crazy laws of taking God out of the school and God out of the courts. Well, what do you expect when you have demons running it?
Yes, Don, it's all by design. And not just taking God out, but also Jesus. We're not allowed to talk about Jesus, have a Merry Christmas. And
yeah.
Now, what's very interesting is I tell these atheists and anybody else, like a communist or whatever, say it's very interesting that you got a problem with Jesus. Now, if he's not really real, then why are you making a big deal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So, right.
I've been saying the same thing about flying saucers. If they're not real, why is it forbidden to talk about them?
That's right, Don. Exactly. Obviously, it must be real.
They're allowed to put them in movies. Why can't we talk about seeing them?
That's right. That's right.
If away from the movie, you know.
That is the bottom line to these topics, is if it's all BS, then why are you making a big deal about it? Obviously, it's real.
Yeah.
And they despise and hate the good Lord because their soul is good for nothings.
Yeah. And you heard Alex Collier talk about it. They
yes,
don't have a soul, and they don't understand precisely this concept of a soul. So they've been trying to dumb us down in frequency to prevent the inevitable from happening. And actually, he lays out two specific parts of what's at the root cause of their demise. And, you know, we could spend a lot of time talking about the Greys and the reptilians. He does go into those issues. But the Greys also are many species from different star systems. And the group he's talking about, I'm pretty much convinced that some of that group did go to that area, but that's not where they're originally from. They come from the constellation Pegasus. And they were chased out of there, and they faked a hiding place in one locale. He mentions that they're on Phobos. He also talks about a war between Sirius A and Sirius B. And so you have a lot of disinformation in those regards, because not all the groups are from that area. And I'm not saying he's intentionally disinforming anybody.
He only knows what he knows.
Yeah, that's the information that he was given. And, that's right. And, they don't just talk to you and say, well, these people are from here and there's somebody over here. And you experience a lot of things in real time, things that we don't even talk about on the show that go on a daily basis. And when you have had contact, you're not afraid. Usually, if it's not an abduction, you're not afraid because you're of the right vibration to receive the experience. In fact,
that's
the experience may very well be a result of your thinking, that you attract the experience because of your consciousness.
Like attracts like.
Yeah.
That's just how things work.
You know, and to hear him be so passionate and articulate, you'd think he was listening to Evident Footprints. It's the same theme, so you see.
That's right. He's definitely affirming a lot of stuff you've covered and shared with everybody.
Many of my guests too.
All your shows, plenty of times with me, and he's affirming a lot of that. And I want to also mention, because I didn't earlier, that as far as the all the negative activity, they feed on that negative vibration, that's food for them, and that bloodshedding warfare, like he said, they feed on all that. But we also have to realize, like I've always said, that the shedding of animals' blood is also a food for them. It's the same thing. And that's why the Lord taught us to be vegetarians.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just because you won't be feeding those negative entities, but also because it's unhealthy for us. Okay,
yeah.
You can't stay strong and powerful if you're ingesting animal flesh, period. And I know a lot of people out, you know, that there's a lot of people today that still can't handle that as far as live that way.
Mm.
And I really feel sorry for them because there's no other way. You'll always be sick. You can't retain your power. And I mean, today it's so common because Don, with the health business, I'm treating sick people all the time.
Yeah.
And it's everywhere. It's going around. Soon school starts. It starts going around. And I'll be talking with people. Oh, yeah, they're sick. They're sick. I'm sick. And I always say to everybody, I'm not. I'm the only one you'll come across. Never sick. People that know me for the longest time, they never, ever will see me sick. Never.
I'm generally the same way.
And that's the key. That's the key to keeping powerful. And at the same time, we're not going to be participating in their satanic system of shedding blood. The animals are not here to eat. When the Lord was born and the angels appeared to the shepherds that night, and they said, peace to all living things. Goodwill to men, peace to all living things. All living things. Peace.
Yes.
And so that's the future, Don. And these dirtbag grays and these negative entities, they're here, Don, because there's a house cleaning going on. The day of reckoning is approaching. All negative activities going to be wiped out, and they know that. And that's why they're here. They're here because their other abodes are being cleaned up, and they won't have the opportunity to dwell there anymore. And we are at, like, the bottom of the bucket as far as our three-dimensional world here. The earth plane, there's a lot of beauty here, but of course everybody living here long enough knows there's a lot of hell here too.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're like the bottom of the bucket, and everything is going to be, all the slop is going to be dropped down here as the house cleaners clean all the other houses first, and then they're all going to work their way down to this spot last, and this is where the big action will finalize. And we're getting closer and closer to that. And eventually, all negative activity will be wiped out. And if all those negative entities that can't adapt and learn to live positively and get a soul will be wiped out. And that's just what's coming. And there's nowhere to hide.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, bring it on, Lord. The sooner the better.
Yeah. Now, I've got one of our listeners is bringing up a point here, sort of to evoke a comment from you. The message is, Mike, what of Yeshua's eating methods? He ate lamb, he ate fish. But then again, that is what is written in man's Bible.
Right, right. Very good. I'm glad that question came up because I love to answer that as often as possible. We know that the Lord, well, at least I know through my personal experience since I was a kid, when the Lord prepared me to be a vegetarian. And when you read the Essene Gospels of Peace, book one in particular, book two, three, four, they're all excellent. One and four, really great. The other two are more communing with the angels. And so when you study them, the Essene Gospel of Peace, book one, book four, and get all four, one, two, three, and four, but especially book one, you will then hear the master talking. Nobody has the power to speak the way it's written in that book. And it's very, very powerful. Everyone I've turned on to it, they can't put it down. It's a little book, very little, quick read. Well, quick, not really, because it's so absorbing, so in-depth, it'll cause you to think real hard. Now, out of the Bible, though, let's go to the Bible, what we can get out of the Bible. Mike, many times, Mike, but when the Lord came with his angels to Abraham to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he cooked and they ate with him. He cooked up some animals and they ate it with him. And I said, nope, Abraham only thought they ate it. What are you talking about? So you read later on in like with Samson, the birth of Samson with the angel appearing, and the book of Tobit, when Raphael helps out Tobit's son Tobias. And in these situations, like with Samson and Tobit, as well as Abraham, when the parents of Samson wanted to cook up a calf and serve it to this angel on the good tidings of their new son that's going to be born, a mighty warrior, a mighty man for God, Samson will be his name. And they want to cook up, and the angel says, well, you can cook it. I'm not going to eat it. Just use it as an offering to God. And he disappears. And then in with Raphael, afterwards, when they had a meal, and Raphael now, at the end of the story, after helping them all out through all kinds of things, it's a great book, Book of Tobit, and then he reveals himself, and he says, because you were good, the Lord sent me to help you, and help all of them, Tobit, Tobias, his son, and also the lovely, I believe it was Sarah, who the demon Asmodeus kept harassing all the time, and so... He reveals himself at the end. And then he says, well, you thought you seen me eat that, but I didn't eat it. Okay. And so they thought the Lord ate the lamb. They thought he ate the fish, but he didn't eat it. They're operating at a whole different level. And they have that power to make you see what they want you to see. Many times, some people would say, well, you know, the Lord appeared this way. And others say, but he looked like this to us, and causing a lot of confusion. But they're operating at a whole different level, and they will never, ever contaminate their body temples with animal flesh. It's impossible then for to do it. They're immortals. They will never eat mortal food.
Yes, well said. Well, Michael, we're out of time. I want to give you a moment to make a concluding comment for our listeners. Just this whole, maybe a summary of everything we talked about tonight.
Okay, well, thank you, Don, and thanks for inviting me back on. It's always a lot of fun. And I would just like to reemphasize that we are living in special times where there's going to be an energy. We already can see the energy coming in. There's a lot of dark clouds over us, a lot of negative energy emanating everywhere. But simultaneously, there's a lot of good energy coming in. The forces of light are coming back to this planet, and we're all being tested. Everything's a test. Every circumstance we find ourselves in, no matter how trying it is, no matter how disrupting it is to us emotionally or mentally or even physically, always fall on the good Lord. Fall on him and say, Lord, I'm overwhelmed. I need your strength to get me through this. And do it with faith and sincerity. And you will find the Lord, good Lord's aid coming to your rescue. Now, you'll have to make a deal. Okay, we all do. Don't make a deal with the devil, because he'll steal your soul with short momentary gain. But you make a deal with the good Lord and say, Lord, you help me out right now with this situation, and then I will be as good as I have to be, as good as you want me to be. Show me what it is you want me to do in return for your help, Lord. Because remember, the Lord, we have to give something to God too. I mean, we're here to serve him and to be his sons and daughters ultimately. But we become sons and daughters through the service first. And then once we prove to be true, faithful servants, well, then lo and behold, one day it's like you're no longer a servant. Now you're my son. Now you're my daughter. Or the Lord will say, now you're my brother. And many, to those that much is given, much is required. So we have to always remember that. When I'm feeling the weight of a lot of things because I'm spread out thin with so many commitments and obligations and activities, which are all positive, but I'm spread out thin. And when sometimes I'm feeling the stress, and the overwhelming feeling of, I don't know if I can handle all this at the same time and keep up with it and have everything come out perfect the way it should be. And I call on the Lord every time. And next thing I know, obstacles clear up, things work out, everything sorts out. And I always give it back to the good Lord. I go out of my way. I don't have time. Mike, you know, I don't have time right now to do that or do that. But I make the time. Because now it's my time to give back to the good Lord in whatever fashion that he asked me to or how he presents it to me. Because you'll find a circumstance come about. All of a sudden you come across somebody in a jam. And you say, well, I really don't have time. I'm sorry. You make the time and bail them out. Next thing you know, things are even proven faster for you. Well, and this is how things work.
I've got and to so, take time now to say we're out of time.
Well, I hope I was able to at least help everyone understand that that's the best way to deal with our daily situations, especially when they get overwhelming. And I would again ask everybody, Don, as I mentioned a while back about the incorruptibles, look up the incorruptibles over a search engine. And you'll see these individuals that have died, but their bodies haven't decomposed. They're perfectly intact. They look like they're just sleeping. And there's your physical evidence that God is real, the good Lord. These are all, these incorruptibles are all people that had a personal experience with Mary, the Holy Mother Mary. And so the good Lord is real. His actions, his activity is coming this way. The incorruptibles represent all those that remain true. They will have life and they'll have it abundantly when everything clears up. In the meantime, we're going to be constantly tested. Always rely on the Lord to get through the tests so that you come out on top.
Yes, well said. Well, Michael, got to say goodnight. Thanks for being on the show. Want to let the listening audience know you'll be with us next Wednesday. So be sure to tune in, folks. I'm sure we're going to have another interesting conversation. That wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and tonight's guest, Michael Anthony. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network over at BBS Radio. On the sound, Don Newsom. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I'd like to also thank Joe Schmo from Idaho for calling in tonight. And be sure to tune in tomorrow when my regularly scheduled guest will be Dr. Mike Castle. In the meantime, I wish everybody a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.